Travis Ryer. Welcome into the game in Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well.
Hey, Ryan, how are you tonight?
It's been a great day. It's a meltdown on another degree because it's all positive tonight.
Wow, what a great week for you as a sports talk show host in Tuscaloosa. You get a historic beating of Texas A&M and Tennessee coming up this Saturday. It doesn't get any more easier for a guy like you this week, I wouldn't think.
I just push the buttons. That's all. I mean, just rear back, push the buttons, and let it fly. But let me ask you from an analyst question. What was the best thing that you saw on Saturday evening?
I think after that performance offensively at Arkansas, you have to go with that side of the ball. It was the kind of bounce back outing that they really needed, not just after Arkansas, but very sluggish in some ways against Ole Miss too. And you could write some of that off to a very good Ole Miss defense. You couldn't do that as much at Arkansas. That was kind of a mix of errors and mistakes that really were worrisome coming out of that game. But to not only put up the numbers they did, but to not put up numbers in the penalty department, that was just as, if not more, impressive to me, and really the kind of confidence-inspiring performance that they needed before they do head back out on the road where they had some problems on that side of the ball. But that said, it's hard not to look at that defensive performance and think that it might have been among the very best we've seen from a Nick Saban-coached Alabama defense. So, really, it's a good problem to have if you're an Alabama fan this week trying to pick out exactly which area or which side of the ball that you were most pleased with, because both were, and the kicking game, were pretty much lights out.
Let's start at the offensive line for a couple of minutes. The trenches were just a dominant performance. I think you mentioned it there in the opening comment, but look at the offensive line. What a huge bounce back. And I saw you tweet out a couple of minutes ago, Ari Quanjo named SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week. It's good to see that coming back off of a not-so-great performance at Arkansas.
No doubt. And also Bradley Bozeman, I thought, played well. Watching the game again especially, he did some good things. They were good enough at right guard. I thought Leon Brown probably played his best game too. While they weren't, I would say, dominant from the outset, they worked the perimeter a little bit to kind of get it going. But once they got A&M a little bit on its heels, they were able to run the ball just about any way they wanted to, whether it was the backs, whether it was between the tackles, whether it was Blake Sims on the zone keep. They just did what they pretty much wanted to, and that's still where it starts for this offense. Blake Sims played well. He had a mistake or two, survived a near pick six early in the game, but it seems to have responded well from his play on the road. So, yeah, I think in just about every area, but you're right, the offensive line play, even after Austin Shepherd goes out with a knee, in comes Grant Hill, and he played pretty well at right tackle. So you not only got to look at some of the guys that you count on each and every week as starters playing well, but it was a great opportunity as well, and an unexpected blowout to get as many young guys on the field as they were able to.
You can talk about Texas A&M being weak on the defensive front. The linebackers are not very good. Secondary, not very good. Defense as a whole, not very good. But the offensive side of the football is still a top-ranked team on that side of the ball. Their problem, to me, is deficiencies on the defensive side of the football. And I know you highlighted this, but one of the things that I saw is the secondary and a lot of those guys, man coverage, making open field tackles. And I think that opened up some of those blitz and stunt packages for Alabama.
I think so. I think having, and Nick Saban touched on it today, but getting the pieces finally in place that they thought they would have pretty much all along. You knew Eddie Jackson was going to be a little bit slow in coming back at the start of the season from that knee injury. But now that they've got him at the one corner, Cyrus Jones coming on at the other corner, Jerick Williams back in the mix at the star position. I think guys are in roles where, they can perform at their very best. They're not asking people to be something more than they can be at this point. Because, you know, in terms of talent and athleticism and all those things that they're used to having at some of those spots, they're still a little limited. But in certain roles, these guys can perform at a high level if you can keep them within those roles. And that's what I think we saw on Saturday, was that, you know, they had those guys in the spots that they wanted them in all along, and they played like it. And, you know, like the offense starts up front, I think it does for the defense as well. Once they were able to kind of establish pressure on Kenny Hill with a four-man rush, he's not the most accurate guy in the world to begin with. And so when they were able to kind of rattle him a little bit, that really affected his accuracy. And, you know, but assignment-wise, it was airtight in the back seven. You know, there have been times this year where we've seen some pretty good gaps in space after the catch between a receiver and an Alabama defender. We didn't see that Saturday. As soon as the ball was caught, there was a guy right there for the most part. So that's what, you know, encouraged me the most for Alabama defensively going forward, is that, you know, they made plays in space and they tackled extremely well.
Let's get in the conversation looking at Reggie Ragland. I think he's also coming on as a player, and he may be that next linebacker that you and I talk about for several years. Looks like he's starting to develop in that role, that he could be that dominant force in that linebacker group.
Well, what impressed me about him Saturday was that, you know, his role was kind of limited in that game. With Alabama playing six defensive backs a good bit, that keeps him on the sidelines. You know, he's the second linebacker in there with Trey Dupree, but when there's six defensive backs, you don't see him out there. With five, you do. But even in a little bit more of a limited role, you know, his production was outstanding. He had five tackles, I think four defensively. You know, the interception, obviously, a tackle and a half or loss, a half sack. So, you know, his value was off the charts. And also what I liked was, you know, he did make a very nice play on kick coverage, making a solo stop down there on a kickoff. And, you know, in his situation, in a game where maybe you're not on the field as much as you'd like to be defensively, it'd be easy to say, well, I'm going to take a few. I'm not going to give everything I've got on special teams. But that wasn't the case with him. So, yeah, in terms of athleticism and you know, understanding of what they want to do defensively, he continues to come a long way. But, you know, a real team-first type performance, I thought, you know, the message was sent by Ragland on Saturday.
The next conversation that I want to get into, and we're going to open up the calls in just a couple of minutes. Right now, we're talking with Travis Ryer, BamaOnline.com. What can be learned from this game? What's the confidence going forward as you take this same team and go on the road now for the next two consecutive games? I know you got a bye week there, sandwiched in between Tennessee and LSU. But what's the biggest thing that you can learn from this game?
For me, it seems like they've gone from that period of trying to figure out what to do and how to apply it on the field, and being more assignment oriented rather than instinctive, and playing with some passion and emotion. And when you're not sure of what you're supposed to do, or you're not totally confident in what you're doing, that limits you in those ways, you know, because you have to focus so much just on getting the duties and responsibilities that you're shouldered with accomplished. So some of the peripheral stuff that can actually help you on the football field, you're not able to make as good a use of it. And that means things like, okay, I've got my assignment handled, but now can I make a play an instinctive play within the framework? And it looks like they're getting to where they can do more of that on both sides of the ball. And, you know, just the emotion and the passion and the enthusiasm that they played with, Ryan, I know you would probably agree, is unlike anything maybe we've seen in the Saban era at Alabama, especially the last couple of years. The last few years, they were pretty much NFL-like in terms of their team persona. This seems more like a college football team, and they need it. They need to play with a lot of energy, because I still don't think they're good enough to get to where they want to go if they play with anything less than that. So it gives them a good shot, I think, of realizing their potential as a team if they continue to do that. Now, you know, you don't want to go Georgia over the top with it. Like, if you remember, the Bulldogs did against Florida one year after scoring a touchdown, and the whole team runs out in the end zone and gets a unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. But, you know, as long as it's semi-harnessed, it can be a real effective measure for them.
Can this team win a national title?
They can. I really believe they can. And it's not so much because I think they're a great team along the lines of the three previous national championship teams we've seen, but I think defensively they are right there at becoming dominant. And if they can get over the hump a little bit with the road thing offensively and not kill themselves on that side of the ball and in special teams, I think they're going to have a great shot in every game they play, and the schedule sets up well. You look at what this team's done at home, and you look at what they've got left. Number one, Mississippi State at home. Top five, Auburn at home. You know, I do think that trip to LSU is going to look a lot tougher maybe in a week's time than it does right now, because I'm thinking the Tigers are just about to sort of hit their stride. But otherwise, it sets up well for them, and if they can somehow get into that 14 mix, I think by that point, they'll be playing at a level where they can beat just about anybody.
Alabama runs the table right now. They're at number four, but if they run the table, they'll move up at least one spot. Or at least that's what we think, because Ole Miss and Mississippi State at some point at the end of the season, they're going to play, and you don't know if they'll fall, and you don't know if that's a 1-point game or a 10-point game. But if Alabama runs the table and you beat Mississippi State, you beat LSU on the road, Tennessee, Auburn to the end of the season, but you don't go to Atlanta, should they have this big argument that they still belong in this conversation? I mean, and could you see a possibility of even getting left out even though they ran the table?
Oh, there'll be plenty of people that want them left out, and you talk about heat on that committee if it kind of goes down that way. I mean, if the winner if the winner of Ole Miss, Mississippi State is Mississippi State, and they go to Atlanta, that probably means Alabama's got two losses, I would think. But I just don't see any of them running the table. I will not be surprised if Ole Miss gets beat this week in Baton Rouge. And you know, it's not because I'm not buying Ole Miss. I just think it's the nature of the beast in this league. It's just hard to do week in and week out. And you know, like I said, I think Alabama's going to get LSU's best shot, and I think Ole Miss is going to get close to it this week. So it's just so hard to say because there's still so many games. We're only in mid-October, you know, and look at what's left in this division. So, you know, I think if you're Auburn, you feel like if you run the table and you somehow get left out because Mississippi State goes, you should be in that playoff. And if you're Alabama, if Ole Miss runs the table, you definitely feel like you should go, because if Ole Miss goes 12-0 to Atlanta and you're 11-1, well, then your only loss is to who? The number one ranked team in the country by a touchdown on their field. So you know, there'll be plenty of argument against it, but reasonable argument there won't be much of that.